Okay, yesterday we're learning the dinim of Baal Tashchis. I just want to mention one more thing which we touched upon briefly yesterday, but it's very, very important. Okay? And that is, you're not allowed to waste anything. We have to teach children not to waste anything. And the best way of teaching children not to waste anything is by being a living example of not wasting things. So you have a lot of times like this. I'm just talking about from shul. And it's not the money issue. It's the concept of teaching children what's right and wrong. A child washes their hands. Yeah? Whether for Nitilas Yadayim, after a bath, whatever. The adults do it and the kids do it. Right away, they take off 5 paper towels, they go like this, and they throw it out. You basically wasted 3 paper towels for sure, maybe even 4. I mean, a kid can use 1 paper towel to dry the hand. No kids have to be taught. Kids want to drink. They take a cup. They drink, they throw it out. A minute later, they take another drink, and again, another cup. That's mamish bal tashchis. It's mamish, the kids are transgressing biblical commandments and wasting things. And parents really have to teach the children. It's not the money issue. Again, it's not money. It's going to cost another nickel. It's not going to make it or break it. But the concept, parents need to teach children the value of things. You just don't throw things out. You just don't waste things. It's biblically forbidden. Okay, next. The next dinam over here is the dinam that's called Sar Bali Chayim, torturing animals. Now, in Gemara, there's a machlekes if torturing animals is biblical or rabbinic. In Shulchan Aruch and Paskins, that torturing animals is biblical. We learn it out from the pasuk. It says, you know, if you see somebody's animal loaded up and it needs help, even if it's your enemy, you know, you have an obligation to help him unload the donkey. There's a whole siman in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch also all about loading up animals and the torture of animal and things like that. So according to Torah, it's forbidden to torture animals in any way whatsoever. For instance, according to Halacha, bullfights, rodeos, all that stuff, you know, that people do for entertainment, and meanwhile the animals are suffering, is biblically forbidden to do these things. Horse racing, I don't know. That is another shot of the animal suffering and not suffering. Like, what's the... I don't know. But you're not allowed to torture any... by the way, there's a machlokes. Some people say you're not allowed to torture people also now. But the other tshuvas write that Ashba... I mean, they write that there's no Bali tshuva. That Ashba writes there is no tzar bali chayim by a person because a person can guard themselves. They can protect themselves from... But it's forbidden to torture animals in any way whatsoever. Now, if somebody is using animals, and this is a very thing, the animal rights people are, you know, screaming about all this animal rights experimentation. Okay, in Halacha, Torah is extremely merciful. V'rachmav v'kol ma'isav. Torah has pity even on an animal. Okay, Halacha says that if you're doing it for the benefit of healing, meaning, you want to use animals as to be able to figure out what works in medicine. All the medications we have today, all the things we tried on animals. And that's how we know they work and that saves lives. So the halacha is allowed. But nevertheless, that doesn't mean you can just torture mice, let's say, because using for experiments, what you need to do the experiment that you're allowed to do.
Wait, the Torah says that you've got to break the back of the neck.
No.
That's torture.
It's not. It's the benefit of the animal. Shechit is also torture. The Rambam writes that you can't say the dinim because for human benefit, the Rambam says if the Torah was really mamish kind, it wouldn't allow shechita either. But Torah does allow shechita. Why does the Torah... Killing an animal, even with shechita, is more torture than not killing it at all. Yet, Torah allows shechita. Now, why is it? Because, to explain according to Chassidus, it makes a lot more sense. Because when you use something, like you use an animal, for the purpose of humans, you actually elevate the animal from animal state to human state. Which means as follows. We learned already many times. There's daimem tzemeh chai medaber. There's inanimate plant, animal, and human. The purpose of everything that Hashem made in the world is to elevate it, to make it higher than it is in its present state. So when you take water, which is inanimate, and you water a plant, it makes the plant grow. So water, the inanimate, was elevated to plant life. And a plant is eaten by an animal or a human. So then, what you're actually doing is, you're elevating the plant and the animal to a human state. If an animal eats a plant, so the plant is being elevated from plant state to animal state. If a person eats an animal, it's kosher that you're allowed to eat. So then it becomes blood and flesh of the person. So then you're actually elevating the animal from the din of, from the category of animal, and you're elevating it to human. So therefore, that is beneficial to the animal. You're doing the animal a favor by utilizing it for the right purposes. But if you just want to torture it for no reason at all, then you're not allowed to. For instance, you're not allowed to tie animals' feet together or birds' feet together. You know, all these like pigeon racing. They actually torture the birds. And that's biblically forbidden. But if you're using it for human experiments, for medical purposes or whatever it is, then you're allowed to. What?
If you're not sure if the body are first killing the animal before they chop it up, is it better to encourage going to go vegetarian so that they don't eat
Why? No. Goyim are allowed to eat. After the flood, Goyim are allowed to eat animals.
Well, because you don't have to, I mean, the way they say, I don't know if PETA shows it, they're like, they take an animal and they just start chopping it up before they kill it.
No.
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 Against USDA. Not in America, maybe in the third world countries.
Yeah, well, that's the point. When you shech the sakin of the animal really doesn't feel.
It's though, the Rambam says that if the Torah would mamash it, so you can't say the mitzvah shluach hakein or all those mitzvahs is not rachmanis. The Rambam says, because if the Torah would be rachman completely on animals, and we just explained why, then you wouldn't be allowed to do shechit either. But the point is that you could use animals. In fact, it says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, you're allowed to kill an animal for the sake of the four. But not stam. Just think. In fact, they discuss. They write, killing an animal is not tzar bali chayim. They quote it from the Gemara. What happens if a person's a hunter? A hunter. So they bring down. The native yidah brings down. You're allowed to, if it's his parnasa. To hunt, then you're allowed to hunt. Because you're doing it for human purposes, for panasa. What did Yitzchok tell Esav? Say, Atzadev is to the Litzayit. Go hunt.
For the coin, not for the Jew.
Yitzchok was a Jew, a very fine Jew, by the way. Fine gentleman. Not hunt for sport.
Right. For panasa.
I just said, you could do it for panasa. Hunting for sport is taka biblically forbidden. That's tzar bali chayim. You're not planning to use it.
What if the person goes ahead and sells it afterwards and somebody eats it or whatever?
So then it's allowed. Then it's parnasa.
So you're saying as long as it's not totally, there's no usefulness, then it's that's the line.
Correct.
So what about like a pet animal in a cage and you're not torturing it, but whatever, it's in a cage. That's how it lives. I don't know.
That's how it lives. So it's not torture for the animal.
But how does it get to know
not. I'll give you an answer. Let's discuss, okay, halachically. I'm not paskining. Let's discuss it. A lot of attractions in SeaWorld were stopped because of officiates cruelty to animals. Right? They say, Shamu, Shamua, Ben Zaku, whatever. You know, all those things. What do they say over there? It's torturing the animal. Yes?
Yes.
Now, would that halachically be, from Torah perspective, would that halachically be forbidden? Not necessarily. Because it's for enjoyment of humans, then you can ask rodeos, but this is less torture than rodeos. It's much less torture, begashmias, yeah? They're just cooped up in a place, but they don't suffer from it so much, okay? So then it's not necessarily plain tzar balei chayim that would be forbidden. You're allowed to have a zoo according to Allah. You're allowed to have a zoo. You're allowed to have a zoo.
Seems based on what you're saying, it's questionable.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, you find, Torah speaks about the concept of a zoo, okay? But you have, I don't mean here, I mean the animal zoo.
You don't mean Los Angeles.
You don't mean the first
year. You know what
I'm saying?
Chicago, I think. Okay, what happens? Chicago has a big zoo, Brookfield Zoo. But it's not yet. Now, is it the same as the animals being in the wild as they are? No, they're not. But is it necessarily torturing the animals? Meanwhile, they're fed, they're taken care of, they're given medication. You know, is that, maybe it's better for them in captivity, so to speak, than it is where they could be eaten by lions and tigers and who knows what.
So there's a lot of specific guidelines. The mushroom you mentioned about tying its feet, is it so specific? Like, how specific does it get where if you're not, God forbid, punching the animal, or then it's not Sarva Lachai?
It is. Just punching animals.
No, that would be, it's not, like, punch, hurting.
Part of the mitzvah, why if you own an animal, you have to feed your animal before you feed yourself. You learn that from Pasuk in Chumash and Shema. Nasati Esav Besotcha Levehem Techo. And then Vachalta V'Savata. So the Gemara learns out that by eating, not by drinking, by eating, you have to feed your animal. That's what the Pasuk says. Hashem says, I will give grass in the fields for your animals. And then you'll eat and drink. And you'll be full. Okay? By drinking, we learn out that people come before animals. That we learn out from Rivka. When Eliezer came to the well with Rivka, Rivka said to him, I will give you to drink, v'gam l'gamalecha eshov, and I'll also draw for the donkey, for the camels. So from there, the Gemara learns out, Rivka was definitely a fine, gentle woman, whatever. She said, I'll give you to drink first, and then the animals. By eating, the Torah says first the animals. That's also a gedder of batzar b'al chayim. I'll give you an example. He says over here, din. You're not allowed to put a bird not on its own eggs. Asur l'hoshev eifal beitim she'ein aminei. If it's a different species. Why? Because tzar b'al chayim, it's torture.
Okay, what about veal?
What's with veal?
So with veal, my minimal understanding is that they take a baby cow and they, in order for the flesh to be very tasty, they don't let it move. Like the fasha put it, like in a situation that it doesn't move, and then whatever, they shaft it out for maybe 6 months or 9 months, and the whole thing.
So again, the question is that for the benefit of the people? So then
it's eating, but for the lifetime of the animal.
I once saw, by the way, that people do discuss in halacha, the concept is that tzar balei chayim, but the paskin it's not because it's for the benefit of people. Animals were created for the benefit of people.
But if you're torturing an animal in the process of prepping it for people, is that considered
tzar? No, if there's no reason for the torture.
I mean, with the veal, that's the whole thing.
How about the concept of the firstborn animals in Israel that they make a moo in it?
They don't make a mum. They let it graze until it gets a mum.
Right.
Yeah, but then you're not allowed to do anything else with it. It's hegdish. So you have to make it have a mum. And then you could sell it to pay it. You have to redeem it. And it's not hegdish anymore.
So much of foie gras were like the force feeding a goose, I think. Like,
that could be tzar balei chayim. Unless if it's said, again, fattening it up for people to have a better food.
Yeah, that's the reason. But apparently they're over.
So then it's I'm not saying it's not questionable. It could be it's questionable. Well, it's done, even the Frum Shlachta, is it?
Right.
and it's under Rabbanim that are machshirim. So again, it obviously it's allowed because it's for the benefit of a person.
Rabbi,
but
if we don't learn Bris Milah from Abraham before we get into it, how do we learn from Rivka about feeding or drinking before us?
One is halacha, one is morals. Morals you learn before Matan Torah. Halacha you can't.